Welcome to the Canadian Cycling Magazine podcast. I'm Matthew Piaro, editor. And with me is Dan Walker. Hey, Dan.
Hi, Matt. How's it going?
Good. How are you? You had a really big ride recently.
Yeah, rode all the way up from downtown Toronto to Collingwood, or Collingwood area.
How many clicks was that, eh?
Bang on 150.
Oh.
I know.
That's
nice. It's a nice round number, isn't it?
That's good. Did you have to do circles until you got to 150?
No, getting lost helped with that.
Perfect. You know. Perfect. Isn't that lucky?
Yes.
All right. Speaking of Collingwood, the region of Ontario up by Georgian Bay.
We spoke with Simon Williams, one of the guys bringing the Sea Otter Classic to Sea Otter Canada.
That's right. We're bringing the Sea Otter North. Now, if you're not familiar with Sea Otter, the U.S. version, which is the classic, we are going to talk more about that because, well, we're pretty stoked about what's coming north here.
Mm-hmm. And then we talk with Coach Glassford.
Coach Glassford.
What's he got for us this week?
Some wisdom that may seem counterintuitive. Even though it's May and you're looking to get outside on that bike, you may want to not mothball the trainer completely.
Sacrilege.
I know. But stay tuned for that. He makes an interesting argument on that front.
Then it's everyone's favorite game show.
This is not yet everyone's favorite because it's new.
It's a little game show I like to call, what does that Italian pro continental team that's in the Giro d'Italia this year's sponsor do?
I feel like every time you say the name, it gets longer.
Much like its spirit animal, the Italian pro continental team.
That is so true. Oh, yes, I am the first contestant, and you'll see how I did. And put it this way, I'm not retiring on my winnings from that game show. But first, a new species of otter. Wouldn't it be great to celebrate the start of summer with a big bike festival? Something that included mountain bikers, roadies, gearheads, and that could also be fun for families too? Well, some folks in Southern Ontario wanted to create a festival just like that, and they did. It's called Sea Otter Canada. If the name seems familiar to you, you probably know of the Sea Otter Classic, which is held in Monterey, California each year. This summer, there will be a Sea Otter Canada in Blue Mountains, Ontario. Dan and I spoke with Simon Williams, one of the founders of Sea Otter Canada, so he could tell us all the cool stuff that you can check out early this July. Dan, let's welcome Simon Williams.
All right, welcome, Simon.
Thanks, it's great to be here, guys.
Yeah. Simon is bringing the Sea Otter Classic up to Canada for the Sea Otter Canada, the inaugural year.
Absolutely.
So, everybody, we're going to get into why this is so cool. Maybe you're not super familiar with Sea Otter Classic in Monterey, California, but everybody here at Canadian Cycling Magazine is pretty keen that Simon and his team are taking an idea that has been doing pretty well south of the border and bringing it up here. It's a festival at the height of summer about cycling. And who's it for, Simon?
I think it's for everyone. It's everybody that really has a passion for cycling. And even if you're just sort of not that avid, crazy, passionate cyclist, we have something for absolutely everybody. For families, for roadies, for the dirt set, for just the casual rider. So we got something for everyone.
Okay. Let's maybe take a look at some of these different riders and see what you have for them. So I'm gonna name a rider, and I want to see what you got for this rider. Drop bar, roadie, spandex dude. What do you got for him or her?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we have five different road events, and they're all very different. Some are kind of unique. Some are sort of the things that you would expect from a road ride festival. But it starts on the Thursday, July 4th. So the festival runs July the 4th to July the 7th up at Blue Mountain, Ontario, just outside of Collingwood. So it's a spectacular area that is amazing for dirt, for road, and for gravel. So we've got the best of all worlds up there. But the road rides really start on the Thursday before the expo opens. And it starts with what we're calling the Canadian Hill Climb Championships. Nice. So basically 7 or 8 kilometers or so straight up the Pretty River Valley Road. It's spectacularly beautiful. And it gives you a chance to sort of measure yourself against some of the best in Ontario, maybe in Canada.
So this is your time to chop off your handlebars, drop the bottle cages, just go full weight weenie, one by setup.
No, yeah. We here at Canadian Cycling, we do not recommend putting Drillium in your bicycle. Keep that out of your parts.
No extra holes.
No extra holes. And actually, though, we're going to put this in the show notes. Contributor Molly Herford has some tips on doing well at the hill climbs in Collingwood. Now, let's say you're a more casual rider and you're coming up, you know, you like to ride your bike. What are opportunities for said cyclist?
Sure. So if you're more casual, I mean, I like, you know, the first day is really the, you know, a little bit more for the racing set. So it really is about the Canadian Hill Climb Championships and the crit, which goes right through the village. Mm. And if you haven't raced a crit before in your life, I don't think this is the time to start.
But you can watch.
But you can spectate, watch, and yeah. it's super cool. Yeah,
that's the fun thing. Just grab a beer on the patio, watch the crit go by, watch them take those corners.
Oh yeah, the hot corners. Yeah, that'll be super fun. But if you're just, you know, if you want to try your first gravel ride, we have that for you. Mm. It'll be epic and beautiful, straight up the escarpment. When I say straight up, I mean, you know, it's achievable, it's rideable. We got a 40 kilometer and an 80 kilometer. And then the next day is the Grand Fondo, and we got a 40, an 80, and 120. So it's really quite accessible for most riders. Certainly if you want to do your first gravel ride or your first Grand Fondo, that's a great place to start.
Nice. I like that democratic nature of these events. And there are some fondos out there that are more competitive, but there's also some that are, you know, just come on. It's a good ride are the roads partially closed, or do you have rolling closures? How does that work?
For the Grand Fondo, we have a rolling closure. Okay. So that lead group will have sort of protection front and back the entire time. Mm. And then the rest of it is basically obeying the rules of the road.
Yeah. But when you're riding with others, it just has such a good vibe when you're out there on the road.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it'll be well publicized. You know, drivers know what to do. And Collingwood's that sort of area. Collingwood and the Blue Mountains is that sort of area where people expect sort of large groups to be on the road. So this is all part of the fun.
Right on. Now let's find another person who is going to be at this event. Someone whose bars are maybe straight.
Their shorts a little baggier.
Shorts maybe a little baggier. Their bike squishes a bit more. what do we have for these types of riders?
So six on-hill events, which I think is a pretty good number. If you're coming up to Blue Mountain and you want to participate in multiple day activities, now's your chance. And I think that's what's the really unique part about this event as well, is that it's not just about an enduro. And it's not just about a downhill, and it's not just about cross country. We have all those things. So we've got, again, for those sort of people that really want to challenge themselves, see how fast they can, you know, get up a hill. We've got the Grind KOM and QOM, which is 2.3, 2.4 kilometers straight up a dirt track right beside Scenic Caves. It will be, it's a tester. Mm-hmm. And then we've got an enduro ride, which I think is, you know, one of the most fun events that you can do. And certainly one of those events that is gaining in popularity every year. And that's brought to you by the Canadian National Enduro Series. So a very well-established event that's coming back to Blue Mountain, but the first time at Sea Otter Canada. And then we got an XC short track, again, for those speedy types, and an XC relay event, which is on a 2.4 kilometer course. So quick laps, a little bit different than those big, big, big relay or 24-hour or 8-hour relays. And they come right through the expo area. So you get seen, and you get to be seen, and you get to have fun and take in the action and have these sort of hot 12-minute laps and tag your partner, and out they go again.
I definitely want to check that out. That sounds wicked. And the kids, what do we have for the kids?
Yeah, this is what I think is so unique, both by this event and the location. So kids, we know they're a little bit fickle from time to time, right? They you know, they want to do something and then they want to do something else. So bring them into the expo. We're going to have Joyride 150 set up a whole kids zone there. We're going to have one area that's going to be for sort of the, call it 3 to 8 year olds, and then another area for the 9 to 15 year olds.
The real developing groms.
Yes, exactly. And then, you know, if the kids get bored, off to the village. right? There's entertainment and there's, you know, the mountain coaster and zip lining and all sorts of other things that families can do. So this is really one of those rare occasions where you can come for the Sea Otter Canada, the cycling festival, participate in rides and races, but also have something to do for your entire family. Whether that's in our expo or outside of the expo, there's something for everybody.
Nice. And
there's the gearheads.
I was coming to those. Okay. I like those guys a lot. And gals, what do the gearheads get to see at this event?
Yeah, well, if you like cycling brands, we're going to have about 200 of them
only
coming.
That's a great number.
we're just going to have about 200 different cycling brands and 200 demo bikes to try right on hill, right on road, right on gravel, right outside the expo. So now's your opportunity to sort of come up. We got a really unique feature that's being brought to you by Bosch, and they're sponsoring sort of the e-bike program. And we're going to have e-bikes in the village, which is about a kilometer and a half from the expo, and that you can take an e-bike shuttle. So you get on the e-bike, ride it over to the expo. If you've never tried an e-bike, you will arrive with the e-bike smile. That is contagious.
It's a thing. It's totally a thing. I know what you mean.
Yeah. So that, you know, things like that are super fun. So it's an opportunity to come out, try all the bikes. We got Canyon coming up to Canada for the first time. So they have an amazing, amazing assortment of demo bikes that they're bringing, both for the dirt and for the road.
Oh, awesome.
Yes, that'll be a really good opportunity for people who, you know, may not have had a chance to ride one abroad to throw their legs over a canyon.
As you mentioned, the e-bike smile. I think anyone who's felt that thing go your first time, it's a real thing.
They're a blast for sure. You know, there's one more thing. I mean, I know we could talk all day. You joke that we could talk for 72 hours or something about all the features that are at this event. But, you know, for those who want to really know the region, there are the culinary delights, and there's also breweries and cideries in the area. You're able to list all 500 of them in one go?
I can list a lot. I think the first thing that we need to basically say is that the whole festival or expo area is licensed. Mm. And we've got 6 brands of beer coming to sort of make sure that you're very well hydrated post your event. So you can actually, you know, take in your hydration and watch the dual slalom, which I think is super exciting.
It's the ideal way to watch dual slalom.
It really, really is. Yeah. And I again recommend having the beer post dual slalom or watching dual slalom.
Only on the sidelines.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But then we also have these rides where we call them the hub and spoke. And basically what you're going to do is we're going to give you the opportunity to head out to some of these wineries and cideries and take in the countryside in a non-competitive, non-timed format. And you can go over to Thornbury Cidery or Roost Winery and then take in some of the local breweries like North Winds, Side Launch, Collingwood Brewery. These are all sort of regional and absolutely amazing experiences. They've done a great job with hospitality and have made the region absolutely a destination.
So this event has been going on in the U.S. for almost 30 years. You've been to the one in Monterey.
I have.
What was it about that event that made you go, aha, maybe we need to bring this to Canada?
Yeah, so I think I think it's just, you know, if you've never been, it's definitely one of those pilgrimages that you need to do as a cyclist or as a fan of cycling or as a fan of gear. When you understand the size and the scope and how many brands are involved, it is just a very, very impressive event. And one of the things that resonated with me more than anything else was how inclusive it was and how they brought the community together. So regardless of whether you're wearing spandex or baggies or armor or you're wearing a tweed suit and riding a Brompton, everybody is included. And that to me was something that really resonated. And I'm like, you know, I am from the Blue Mountain area, or I live in the Blue Mountain area. You see so many different styles of riders out there. And this to me is a great opportunity to bring the community together in one place at one time to celebrate everything on two wheels.
I don't know. I'm stoked.
Yeah, that sold it for me there.
Well, you also have had experience going to Sea Otter.
We were just there a couple of weeks back for the magazine, and while we didn't get to ride, it is the ultimate tease because there's just so much cool bike stuff if you're a fan of it. So yeah, I can't wait for it to come to our backyard.
Right on. Well, Simon, thank you for giving us this preview. And yeah, we're looking forward to the event.
Matt and Dan, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Simon Williams is a co-founder of Sea Otter Canada, a bike festival in Blue Mountains, Ontario, running this July from the 4th to the 7th. I'm hoping the weather is good for you where you are, wherever you are in Canada, that you've been out on the bike, riding on roads, maybe even trails. But, you know, at this time of year, you think, great, I never have to see that trainer again. And by never, I mean not until later, like October, November, December. But wait, there is a reason to keep that trainer somewhat accessible, even as the weather gets more and more glorious. Here to make the case for not banishing the trainer completely is Coach Peter Glassford. The roads are clear, so should I stash my trainer for the season? Should I put it away completely? What do you think, Peter?
Matt, it's a difficult question. You know, I think if I stay true to my own philosophy and feelings, I would say yes, for sure, like never ride it. But I think we have a reality that some of these tools are pretty valuable, and a lot of us aren't, you know, in a pro team. Again, we always joke about you and I not going to the Tour of France, but we're holding out.
Yes, still not.
So,
still,
you know,
no
you're
call.
In the city, you're in Toronto. Cities are cities, right? And there's going to be inclement weather that could be really hot or just like crazy storms or whatever, right? And so it can be very hard to get good training in, especially if you have a really targeted goal, right? Like you're working on time trials or you want to get like a really steady ride in, and the city can be hard. And again, if it's pouring rain, what are you going to do? Like, we can't mountain bike anymore. Like, that's just not acceptable anymore to go on trails for the most part in most places. So there's a lot of cases where just keeping that frequency up is tough, and even through the summer. And then again, lifestyles and where you live can really affect that. So I would say if you have the option to keep it set up in the basement or in the garage, or maybe you have a little pain cave, I would do that and use it for things like recovery spins or the inclement weathers or just those days you only have 45 minutes to do something, right? And it, you know, you're going to waste that getting your bike set up and dressed and out the door and back and clean. So I would say if you have the option, definitely keep it ready and at hand.
Interesting. I believe another time you've actually compared it with the batting cage in baseball. What are the similarities between those, the trainer and the batting cage?
I think it's a good analogy, right? Like, you can be very good in a batting cage and you're maybe not going to the Major League Baseball, but, you know, everyone uses that to train and get repetitions in, right? And if you use the city as a very specific example, you know, it's very hard to ride steady. If you want to do like a classic 2x20 threshold interval, that's very challenging. It's not impossible, but it is challenging, and there's safety issues and all sorts of different things. So to me, that it's just a very accessible way where you can get on your bike. You don't need to go hunt down a route. You don't need to, in the baseball example, you don't need to hunt down a whole game of baseball and get someone to pitch at you. You could actually go and use a pitching machine and get in, you know, 300 pitches, 300 hits, right? So in the same way, a trainer is a very efficient way to get a lot of repetition in, and potentially a very focused, like, focus stimulus, right? It's not riding a bike. It's not mountain bike racing or crit racing or road racing. There's a lot of other things that go into it, but it's our batting cage for sure.
Interesting. And then to mix metaphors, it's sort of just like another arrow in your quiver in throughout your season that you can, you know, draw upon when you need it.
I think so. I think, you know, I often, there's the Zwift argument and the online training platforms and stuff. And you know, I don't like to say that things are completely bad. So they're all tools. And in that respect, it's an arrow in our quiver. But you know, an arrow is not so good in your, when you're in hand-to-hand combat with a, and you need a sword or a knife, right? You got like your little boot knife. Like that's the one that for when the close contact. So in the same way, you know, there are other elements to the sport, and someone who only rides indoors is going to have a tough time. Not impossible. There's certainly examples at the extreme level of people who only ride indoors and are quite fit, but especially in any of the disciplines that require tactics and technical features, standing and, you know, sprinting, these things, it's hard to do that indoors, but for what it is, it's quite a valuable tool.
Right. So I will take away from this that maybe the trainer won't get packed down and put in the back of the closet or the storage space. It'll still be around, which I will use when I need this tool. Should it be rainy? Or should I maybe be time crunched or something like that? So, you know, we like to dump on the trainer and pretend it doesn't exist as soon as the weather starts to turn. But okay, trainer, we'll see each other before fall or winter.
I think you'll find good results doing that.
Excellent. Okay, thank you, Peter. Peter Glassford is a professional coach and head of Smart Athlete Coaching Services. Send in your Ask a Coach questions for Peter to podcast@cyclingmagazine.ca.
Well, you know what that music means, Matt, don't you?
Music's new to me.
Oh, it's time for a little game I like to call, guess what that Italian Pro Continental team in the Giro's sponsor does.
Wow.
Really rings off the, rolls off the tongue there.
You know what? The name of this segment is as clunky as an Italian Pro Conti team name.
And so that's saying something.
That's appropriate. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well done. I'm keen. What do we got?
Starting things off.
I'm ready to play.
Leading off, number one in your hearts. Or number one in the playbooks, I don't know about your hearts, Androni Giancattoli Sidermec.
Now, this team has been around for a while,
yes,
and they've been doing pretty well this year. There's Fausto Masnada won, I think, two stages at Tour of the Alps.
You don't get
Alps.
Enough people named Fausto anymore, do you?
Well, how many? That's ridiculous. like Fausto.
It was Coppi.
There's Coppi, yes. Oh, yes. And then also, that totally caught me off guard. I'm like, I can't answer that. Yeah. Maybe if you're in Italy, you know more Faustos.
Possible.
Okay. And then Andrea Verdo, I'm going to butcher his last name, Vendrame. He won Trobro Leon. So, yes.
He doesn't get to keep the pig, though, does he?
Well, no, because he's not Breton. I think no. You have to be Breton to keep the pig.
They should get another animal for the actual winner.
I'm sure the livestock at that race is just fantastic. What does the team do, though?
Okay,
on
so
target here.
Well, it sounds like a triplex of team sponsors, but it's really only two. So it's Androni Giancattoli. I think that's how you say that. Is that
it? Sounds pretty good to
okay.
me.
Okay, so we're going to guess what they do first, Matt.
What industries are in Italy still? furniture. I didn't think so. That was a lame guess. Can I get another guess?
Yep.
Okay. Fax machines.
Wow. Though they might be equally as outdated, but they make beach toys and something
really?
Something that looks like off-brand Lego.
You're kidding me.
No. And they also make toy trucks.
Awesome. So yeah. Like the Tonka trucks of Italy, maybe?
Probably. That's a good. Let's go with that.
Okay, great. And the other name in
Sidermec.
The Sidermec. That sounds techie. So maybe something more current than fax machines. They do. I'm guessing. Like let's say servers.
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 You would be incorrect. So as far as I can gather on the website, it's
as far as you can get. Is there no English?
It's English, but you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Tin plates and steel plating that can be used for a variety of,
like industrial kind of stuff?
Uses.
Okay.
They had an example of, one of the stovetop espresso makers. I think their
Bialetti?
Their metal might go into one of those.
Oh.
They had a nice video about the art that's made from their tin or steel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel this is maybe a bad idea because now I'm exposing my ignorance of these sponsors, and the whole idea is that you put your sponsor's logo on the jersey and people know about it.
Okay.
Although I did buy an HTC phone back in the day.
Look how that worked out for them. They're still around.
I'm doing everything I can.
Okay. On to Nippo Vini Fantini Faizzane. Nippo Vini Fantini. That's a triple. That's a three-team sponsor there.
Nippo.
A three-sponsor team.
Vini Fantini.
Nippo Vini Fantini Faizzane.
Okay. Nippo. Oh, wait. Are any of these bike industry?
No.
None of them are.
Oh. So Nippo Vini Fantini Faizzane,
yes,
is the Japanese-Italian team.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So is what's the last one?
Faizzane.
Okay. So the first name is from Nippo. Japan?
Yeah, Nippo.
Is that like a tourism thing?
No.
No. Is it?
It's industrial.
Oh, that's all this industrial stuff. It's a theme. Cotter pins.
What is that?
It's a kind of a fastener.
Okay. No, they make paving materials.
Nice.
Yeah, fun.
Okay, what's the second one?
Vini Fantini.
It is...
Okay, here's a clue.
Good.
When they're in France, they're not allowed to advertise.
Is it wine?
Yes.
See that?
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
Move on.
A Sangiovese wine?
I don't know.
Okay.
Faizzane.
The last one.
Yeah.
I feel there's so much industrial stuff. I want to go that direction.
Go that direction. Follow your heart, Matthew.
Tires.
No.
Big tires.
No rubber.
No rubber. Housing construction supplies.
Okay. So again, as far as I could gather from their website, it looks like they make metal bolts and tubes.
Wait a minute. That's a fastener. Those are fasteners.
Did you say fasteners?
When did I say cotter pins?
I think that was Cider Mac.
Oh, yeah. I can't even remember my guesses.
No. Anyways, see, this is educational.
Oh, okay.
Our last one.
Oh my God, I just got the wine right. Sweet. Yeah. But I had a clue.
Bardiani CSF.
Bardiani. Any of those cycling industry?
No.
Bardiani CSF. That's two?
Yeah. AKA the hashtag green team.
Oh, Bardiani is environmental cleanup.
No.
Well, green team. What's the green for?
Because they're green colored.
Oh, I thought that was part of their marketing. No. Bardiani is light bulbs.
Valves.
Valves?
And there's a Canadian kind of connection, valves? Though, for like the beverage and agricultural industries. There's a section about dairy on the website.
So like when cows are getting milked?
Maybe.
Nice.
I don't know much about industrial valves. Shocking, right? Mm. But they do have Bardiani Valves Canada.
Oh, sweet.
So big Canadian presence. So if you're looking for a team.
That's our crypto Canadian team?
Possibly.
Nice.
Okay. CSF?
CSF. Oh, it's financial services.
No. Think similar to the valve family.
Rubber?
Pumps.
Pumps, of course.
Yes.
Okay.
Also, I think in beverages and agriculture.
Oh, man.
So fun.
So
those are fun, aren't they?
Keep sponsoring bike teams, everybody.
Yep.
Oh.
And maybe one day you'll get a segment on what do the Pro Conti Italian teams and the Giro sponsors do show.
I don't know if the name changed from beginning to end, but still catchy.
Nobody knows.
And that's the episode. It's put together by me, Matthew Piaro, and Dan Walker, with help from Philippe Tremblay and Terry McCall. It's produced by Adam Killick. He also composed the music. Thanks to the Ontario Media Development Corporation for its support.
And if you want more great Canadian cycling content, check us out at cyclingmagazine.ca. There, you can find all our social channels.
Mm-hmm.
We're on all the big three.
Mm-hmm.
Not on TikTok, though, so your kids probably can't find us. And if you want to download, rate, and review, please do. That's always nice. 5 stars only. And if you have a comment...
Oh, you can email us at podcast@cyclingmagazine.ca.
Well, I was going to say only something nice.
Oh, sorry. I jumped the gun there. Yeah.
You can still email us for your full send, no send ideas next week.
Yeah. You do that.
Yep.
And also, if you have questions for Coach Peter Glassford, send an email to podcast@cyclingmagazine.ca. Dan, who should we tell about the podcast?
Well, we should probably go to your Italian gelato shop and let them know in honor of the Giro.
That's right.
Order something pink.
Brilliant idea. All right, thanks. Talk to you later.